Sister Tyler's looking up here. She must know it. But that's got, I mean, I've looked at it before, and it's got a real good meaning to it. It really does. Well, I hope and pray that each one of you had a good afternoon. Hope everyone got to nap in. My wife did. I was in my study, and I heard her, so she got a nap in. Well,
I think we'll sort of tit for tat on that, man.
Does the windows rattle when a Frenchie gets in there?
Oh, then he'll go for the longest time and he will never snore. But when he does, of course, I'm the same way they tell me, so I don't know.
I haven't heard, man. I don't think I snore. I've never heard it. So.
You don't snore?
Oh, I've never heard it. So.
All right. Let's turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Gonna be reading two verses of scripture. You know, today we have a tendency just to come into church, and it's just like a habit. We just got into a routine habit of just coming to church. We know that on Sunday morning, you know, we're supposed to be in church by 10 o'clock, and then we're supposed to be back at, you know, 5 o'clock if his service is at 5 or 6 or at what time his services are. And then Wednesday night. But you know something? We need to, as we make it a habit, we don't need to let it be a habit. And what are you saying, preacher? It sounds contradicting one another. Well, it does. What I'm saying is that we need to make a habit, but don't let it be a habit. And what I'm saying about don't let it be a habit is we just automatically on Sunday just get up and come to church. We should be excited about coming to church. We need to be excited about coming to Sunday school. We need to be excited about going and hearing from the other people. We need to be excited about doing the things which God has allowed each one of us to have a willing participant. Because, you know, we could be just saved and God just saved us and you know, he don't have nothing else for us to do. But you know something, God's not like that. He wants us to do something. And that's just like same way about going to work. You think about it. If you go on your job and if you have to be there at 8 o'clock and if you have to be there from 8 until 12, and then from 12 to 1, you get an hour's lunch hour. Then you come back at 1, and then you're there to 5. And within a time frame that you're there, you don't have nothing to do. it would make it monotonous, wouldn't it? It would make it, you wouldn't be excited about it. You would just say, well, it's going to be a dreary day today, I know. I ain't going to have nothing to do. Didn't have nothing to do last week. But when you have something to do, you're motivated and getting it done. And I believe that's what the Lord Jesus has done. Right here it says over there in, speaking in the first part of chapter 2, it's speaking about the marriage that was in Canaan, the first miracle. And it's speaking of where the way he turned the water into wine. And there was 6 water pots there. But you know, not only that, is that the Lord Jesus, he does so much more for us than just taking and allowing our eyes to see something that he has created. He also allows us to experience the witnessing of other people in the lives. And he excites us in a way, and we can get excited when we go out here and when we do the work of the Lord, and when we go out here and visit people. And just like Brother J.D. said this morning, we need to tell people about what God's done for us. Because I was telling J.D. after church or after Sunday school and everything, between Sunday school and preaching, I said, you know, the people outside of them doors across the street and that drunkard's walking up down the road and that harlot and all of them, they know exactly what goes on in the house of God. I says, but they don't know anything at all about your life. They ain't seen no change in your life. But we see here in this story here, it's not a story, it's true. It's God's word. And anytime that I feel like that we need to just look at God's word and not put what we think it says, but we need to put down and we need to say what thus says the word of God. This that message this morning, I've heard all kinds of messages on grace, but I never heard it put the way that it was put this morning. And Brother J.D., he excites me. I mean, he excites me because he's excited in what he's doing for the Lord. And he should not be the only one that's excited. He should not be the only one that don't mind letting people know whose side he's on. We also need to let other people know what side we're on. Over there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 it says, Paul has said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is what brought me under conviction. The gospel is the one what brought me to my knees. The gospel is what had touched my heart. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And after the gospel brought me to my knees and brought me under conviction, and then the Lord Jesus saved my soul, and I'm not ashamed of salvation. Are you ashamed of the salvation of God that God has given you? I'm not. But how many people are here in the places that we go and we see people? How many times do they look at us and they say, you know, I never hear them bragging at all about the Lord. I never hear them bragging. I mean, I know some people that way. I mean, they in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If you got revival 5 nights a week, they're there. Yeah, you could have been in one, or I could have been in one and led them to the Lord. But they're still, just like Peter said in the book of Peter, they still on the bottle. They still on that baby bottle. They're still drinking from the baby bottle, and they're still on the sincere milk. They just want to read it. They don't want to understand it. They don't want to get down there and say, well, that applies to me. They don't want to see where the meat's at. They don't want to get down there and see where they need to be at. They don't see the need that they need to go to the Lord in prayer. That they need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. But we all do. It says over here in verse 17 in John chapter 2. No, 15. John chapter 2 and verse 15 it says, and when he had made a scourge, a small cord, he drove them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers, money, and overthrew the table, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Other words, what he's saying right here, he's telling, do not bring the things from the world into my house and where the people can grovel over them, can yearn for that. That the only thing that they need to come and they didn't want to hear and see in the house of God, that they need to come and see what's going on within people's lives. Want to hear people talking about their first love. Yes, a whole lot of people, they'll talk about the baseball game. They'll talk about the stock car race. They'll talk about this and they'll talk about that. But they never want to talk anything at all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Lord has saved our soul. They don't want to ever talk about that. Why? It's because they're ashamed of what the Lord Jesus stands for. They are ashamed of the gospel. That's the only thing I can gather. That they're ashamed of the gospel. Not only are they ashamed of the gospel, but they're ashamed of the word that we use a whole lot of times, and that's salvation. Ye have got to be born again to enter in the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Ye must. It ain't no hope so, maybe so or not. You must. You must. That's positive. You have got to do that to enter in. You have got to depend on Him and Him only. Verse 17 says, and His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? I'm going to go back up to verse 17. And I want to look at one little phrase there, the last phrase it is. The zeal of thine house has eaten up, has eaten me up. Now I believe what he's talking about is where he had walked in to this place. He'd walked in to the temple. He'd walked into the synagogue. And he'd seen the people. They weren't talking about him. They was talking about everything else. They was talking about everything else under the sun. They was talking about how much is that over there? How much is that? The merchandise. There was more concern over the things than there was their own soul. There was more concern about what they was doing. They weren't concerned at all about their moral status. They weren't concerned about the relationship that they had with the Lord. They weren't concerned about any of that. But we need to start being concerned about the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus. And if we get concerned about our own relationship with the Lord Jesus, then we will get to the point that we'll be concerned about the individuals out here that's dying and going to hell. Some of it is our family that's dying and going to hell. But we have to get concerned about what He wants us to do and what motivates us to do something for Him. The zeal of thy house has eaten me up. I believe the Lord Jesus right here saying right here, He said the zeal. He's excited. He was excited about going into the synagogue. He was excited about going to the house of the Lord. He was excited about going to the house. Why? Because it was his father's house. He was excited. Are we excited in coming to God's house? Are we? Are we excited about when we get to God's house? Are we excited about, well, this, y'all hear about what somebody else done or what somebody else has done? We don't need to worry about the things that, because when coming to God's house, we need to be like Jesus. He wanted to be excited. He wanted to be excited. Why does he want to get excited? Why? Because he was in the Father's house. We need to get excited, like JD said this morning. We need to get excited. Why? Because we're among God's people. We're here. And you know something? I could have stayed at home. And got something out of watching the TV. But see, that wouldn't excite me. What excites me is coming to the house of God. Because when I do, God always shows up. Something always happens. I mean, you know, just like the Holy Spirit of God, I don't believe the Holy Spirit will come in and touch anybody that's at home watching the TV if they're able to come out to the house of the Lord. I just don't think he will. But he may to some, I don't know. But I know one thing, I won't feel him if I stay at home on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. I mean, I can stay away from the house of God and coming in where it's just an hour on Sunday night. And then an hour on Wednesday night. I can miss either one of them. Then the next time I go to church, it feels like it's been a month since I've been. I know you felt the same way. Because I've heard you say it. I don't like to miss church. Because I know if I miss church, I'm going to miss something that's going on. I'm going to miss one of God's blessings. Hey. God's blessed me tonight. You say, well, how did you see that? You just come and oh, it's the same. Eight of us here tonight. It's like this every Sunday night. We're going to have eight more be back here next, probably Wednesday night. You say that excites you? Yeah, it does. You know why? Because if an individual comes and asks me, says, well, how many did you have Sunday? I said, I had 100%. And I still don't go by this, just this one number. Me is just one. We have 32 individuals here tonight. We have 8 individuals that we can see with our physical, with our natural eyes. But we have 24. Ooh, that we can feel within our heart. That we can feel the presence that they have shown up, that they have made known unto me. Hey, you can't touch me like they can. I can't touch you like they can. But see, they can bring us something that we longing for. We don't know what we longing for. They do. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they do. They know exactly what we're longing for. They know exactly what you longing for. They know exactly what Faith Baptist Church is longing for. You think any of this is surprise God? Nope. You think that anything that's went on since this church has been built and now it's down to where it's at today, you think any of that surprised God? No. God knew exactly what it was going to be. God knew it was going to be a falling away. He tells us that in the Word of God. And not only that, what does he talk about the pruning process? He used the tree as an example. He goes out there and he prunes that tree. Just like we do in the fall. We'll go out and we'll take that tree that we got, that little bush we got, and we'll prune it back and everything, and we'll get all the dead branches out of the way. Then comes spring, we'll get in there and we'll make sure that everything is okay. Won't have no dead branches, won't have no broken off branches or nothing like that. We'll go in and we'll prune them back. Prune them back. Why are we pruning them back? So that they can flourish. So they can get bigger. Faith Baptist Church is just, God's just in the pruning process. God has done the pruning. It's going to flourish. It's going to come back. It's going to come back the way God wants it to come back, not the way that I want to, not the way that you want it to, but the way God wants it to. And it's not going to be no surprise to God either. But you talking about a surprise. It's going to be a surprise to us. It's going to be a great big surprise to me and what God does. But it's not impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Little as much when God is in it. I believe with my soul that God is in my ministry. I believe that God wants me where I'm at. If I did not believe that, I would not be here. The zeal. We have some bitter people today. They're bitter. Why are they bitter? They're bitter because of the things that's going on. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, can two walk together except they agree? You can't even get two Christians hardly today, this day and time, to agree on that ye must be born again. They said, well, no, you're speaking of his eternal salvation. Yes, it's the only kind I believe in. They said, well, no, I said, you can lose it too. I said, well, you show me. Well, they'll come up with scripture and everything. And yeah, they can get around that. They can get around once saved, always saved. But see, they're taken out of context. And they're bitter. They are bitter of their own belief. But yet they cannot admit it, that they are wrong. Well, they say, well, that's what my pastor said. Well, my pastor also told me one time too, said, I'll die and go to hell too. But guess what? I done got past that. I'm not going to die and go to hell. Because I had the joy that's in my heart. The zeal for the house of God should eat up the selfishness within the Christian's lives. There's so many Christians today are selfish. They say, well, you know, I'm not going to say anything because they'll start doing it and everything, so I don't want to say anything because they'll start acting like it. I ain't going to say nothing about that because if I do, then they'll start going out and they may start visiting the people that, yes, that I've visited. Well, bless Pat. If they can go out there and visit somebody else that I've already visited, and if they can get them in church, more power to them. More power to them. We don't need to be a selfish people. We need to be people that's excited about people coming to know the Lord. Do you remember the time that you got saved? Do you? The day that you got saved? nobody could hush you up. You had to tell somebody that something happened to you. You didn't know what it was, but you knew something had happened. I didn't know what had happened to me, but I knew something had happened. But then, it took me a little while. It took me about a week or two to realize that something did happen. That I wanted to be in church. I wanted to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And yes, I wanted to go to Sunday school. I didn't want to talk to Christians back then. I didn't want to talk to them. But see, when God comes in, and you know a change is that He has made in your life, and you will know that change when you start doing things that you never thought, you'd ever do. Well, I thank Him tonight with all my heart that He was willing to die for me. You know, if I was the only one, my mother gave birth to me, and after that, something would have happened to her during the childbirth of me. And I was the only one, only breathing, living soul on the face of this continent. Not just in America, on the face of the continent, the whole world. This is how much I believe in Jesus. This is how much I believe in my Father. That my Father would have said, "Son," says, "I know that it's not but one individual. He's the only one, Lord. And son, you gotta go be born of the Virgin Mary. And then you gotta walk the earth a little while after he gets to his age, and after he passes his age of accountability. See, he waited until he was 33 and 3 months old. Then he went to Calvary. They hung him on that cross because I was the only one that's living that was lost. What did he say? He came to do what? To save the world. To save everyone. To save from the uttermost to the gutter. He wanted to save. I mean, that was his purpose. To come and save people from the penalties of damnation.
and the penalties of hell. And then after he come off of the cross, he went to the grave for 3 days. He went into the grave for 3 days for me, that I wouldn't have to go. Amen. He done that so I wouldn't have to die. What are you saying, preacher? You mean he went to the grave so you would not have to die? Yep, right. A Christian never dies. What does Paul say? To be absent from this body is to be present with who? The Lord. The only thing is going to happen is the inward spirit is going to be transferred from this body. To heaven. A Christian never dies. We're a winner. We're a winner either way. We're a winner if we stay. And we're a winner if we go. We cannot lose. God has given us the end of the book. And I'm sorry, Father, but I've done a little cheating in reading. I read the last of the book before I read so many others in between the books. I know what's going to happen. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And that's what he done it just for me. He done it just for one individual. That's who God is. God has so much love that he says, I can't. I just can't pass him up. I'm sorry. I just can't pass it up. I got to give him an opportunity. Why? Because he is nothing but love. L-O-V-E. Love. He's loyal to us. We need to be loyal to him. He's obedient to what he had pinned down in the book. We need to be obedient. Why? Because of the word. We can. He had the victory. He had the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He came forth out of that grave and he conquered it. Why? Because of me. Because of you. Because of what it love meant to him. He conquered it for me and you. The victory. The victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. And with the victory that he has given us down through these many years. Some of you has been longer than I, that I've been saved. But I've won the victory. I have the victory in him. And I've had it in him for the last 35 years. I've had the victory. But with that victory, he's also given me eternal life. It's not everlasting life. It's eternal life. Why? Because that's what I'm going to spend with him for eternal. For eternal. You know, man, when it's speaking of everlasting life, that is when man is involved. But when it's eternal life, that's when God is involved. When God is involved. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. And we pray, Father, Almighty God, that you would just help each one of us, Father, the Father, to be more like you, Lord. And Father, that we will go out this week and allow your Spirit, Father, will touch hearts. And Father, we can let the people know what you've done for us, that we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of salvation. And we're not ashamed of the service that you've given us to do. So, Father, we ask now that you may help us as individuals. Because, Father, we cannot help ourselves. Because if we do it ourselves, we're going to fall away from you. And, Father, I do not want to fall away from you. I want to be about your business. I want to be about what you've called me to do. And Father, we pray for Faith Baptist Church. We pray for all the people that comes in and out, Father, that's visited. Even the ones that comes anytime we have something to eat, Father. Yes, Lord, they come. And they will just come and just go up back to the, where would they eat at, Father? But they will not come to the church services. And Father, they don't realize it, but they are really missing out. Yes. And Father, if it's something that I've said, and Father, that I've done, to cause them not to want to come to church here. Lord Jesus, I apologize. I'm not going to apologize for what you give me to say. But I will apologize to them that I upset them to that point. That they won't come in. But I'm not going to apologize for your word. So Father, we pray. Now, Lord, that you go with us. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.